We turn now in God's Word to the Gospel according to Matthew, to Matthew chapter 6. We begin to read at verse 19, part of the Sermon on the Mount. At verse 19 of chapter 6, Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If, then, the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." How much do you know about where your food comes from? And not meaning does it come from Tesco's or Sainsbury's or Marks and Spencer's, but where does it really come from? There's a recent survey. This is one of those you couldn't make it up things. Survey by the British Nutrition Foundation, asking children about origins of their food. 29% primary school pupils thought cheese comes from plants. Others thought that pasta comes from animals. A significant number of secondary school children thought tomatoes grow underground. Well, of course, we're smarter than that. We know these things are nonsense. We know much better about the origins of our food. And yet, do we? Do we know where our bread ultimately comes from? Like, well, from the supermarket, from the bakery, home-baked. But of course, that's not the real question. Where does our bread, where does our food ultimately come from? And in the petition of the Lord's Prayer that we are looking at today, we see some very important lessons about our bread, our food, our physical necessities. Now today we want to consider Matthew 6. And verse 11, we're thinking of the theme of provision for the body. Provision for the body. The petition in Matthew 6:11, "Give us today our daily bread." Provision for the body. And as we think about this petition in the Lord's Prayer, we want to think first of all of how the material matters. The material matters. You see, it may seem surprising, even shocking, to move from petitions about the coming of God's kingdom and the doing of God's will, exalted spiritual matters, and suddenly give us bread. It seems like we're coming to earth with a crash. Something so material and everyday as bread. And to some Christians, it has seemed that that really could not be the case. It seems crudely materialistic to move from the kingdom and the will of God to bread. And so you will find Christians who in the past and still today would interpret this part of the Lord's Prayer as relating to spiritual food. They say, look, we must be praying surely about food for our souls, about Christian truth, about Christ. After all, doesn't he say in John 6, he's the bread of life. And so this must be a prayer about spiritual food for the soul. It seems perhaps unworthy that we'd give time and prayer to just bread. It's unspiritual, is it not? But in fact, that approach to this petition of the Lord's Prayer, in fact, is guilty, I believe, of what we could call unwarranted spiritualizing. Unwarranted spiritualizing. It's taking something that, in fact, is very physical and very material and trying to exalt it into something we think is more spiritual and more worthy of prayer. But we must take the prayer at face value. It is a prayer for bread. Ordinary, physical, material bread. We don't have to try and make it more spiritual than that. The petition is reminding us that the Lord Jesus is deeply concerned with the physical well-being of his people. You think of how, for example, in Mark 6:31, he takes the disciples aside for bodily rest. And there's no reason to think he's going to preach them a sermon or give them a Bible study. They're to go and rest their bodies. Jesus is concerned for the physical well-being of his people. God cares about the physical welfare of his children. And that includes their need for nourishment, for bread for the body. Clearly, that is what we are praying for here in the Lord's Prayer. We're not denying the need for food for the souls. Of course, that's important, but that's not what we're praying for here. We're praying for bread. The Lord is concerned for the physical welfare of his people. And so we're encouraged here in this prayer to ask for the necessities of physical life. Daily bread, of course, is all we need for the body. Food of every kind and nourishment and so forth. It's all covered by daily bread. The Lord's concern for our physical welfare. But behind that truth, there is a deeper principle here that we need to understand. We mustn't miss this. And that principle is that the material matters to God. The material matters to God. We must not allow our minds to become infected by ideas that would be more at home among the Greek philosophers of Bible times. The ideas that suggest that the material is inferior, unworthy of God's attention. The idea that God is only interested in the spiritual. That was very common among the Greek philosophers of the first century of New Testament times. And many Christians in the history of the church have been infected with that outlook. That God's only interested in your soul and the body really doesn't matter. But that's not a biblical view. It's not a Christian understanding of creation. It is not true that only the spiritual matters to God. God's the creator. And he's the creator of the material world as much as he's the creator of the soul. It's God's handiwork. If we denigrate the material creation, we are saying that some of God's work doesn't matter. We daren't say that. If God made it, it is worthy of our attention. The material creation is God's handiwork, and when he looked at it, Genesis 1:31, he said it was all very good. And something God says was very good is not unimportant. It is not something to be neglected. More than that, we were put in the creation to be stewards. Again, you go back to Genesis account, we're to look after the material world. It's worthy of the attention of God's people. More than that again, salvation is not just salvation of the soul. Never slip into that way of thinking. It's the salvation of the person. And it includes our bodies. Our Christian hope, Philippians 3:21, is that we will receive glorified bodies like the glorified body of Jesus. Material resurrection bodies. God will not throw away the material creation. He will renew it. And we look forward, as we're told in Romans 8, to a renewed creation. Liberated, Romans 8:21, from its bondage to decay. We will spend eternity in the new creation. There will be ground under our feet. There will be sky above us. It will be perfect, but it will be material. The material matters to God. Let's make sure our thinking isn't being shaped by worldly philosophies, but it's shaped by the Bible. And in the Bible, God made the material creation. And God will renew it for eternity as a home for his saved people, saved body as well as soul. There is nothing unworthy of Christian people in praying for bread for the body. The material matters. Let's never lose sight of that. That's what we're praying for. The material matters. But then secondly, the Father reigns. The Father reigns. We've already looked in our studies in the Lord's Prayer at the petition, Your Kingdom Come. And really this prayer now, Give Us Today Our Daily Bread, is one of the applications of God's reign, God's kingship. It's an outworking of truths we've already thought about. Because there's no point praying, give us today our daily bread, if God can't answer the prayer. It'd be ridiculous. We pray, give us our daily bread, because God is able to do that. And to pray this prayer is to recognize that God is sovereign over all things, including the provision of bread for the body. It's a recognition of God's sovereignty. He provides the necessities of life for his people. Indeed, verse 26 tells us he even provides for the birds. Your heavenly Father feeds them, Jesus says. If God feeds the birds, how much more will he feed his own people? God's sovereignty is understood here in the petition. Give us today our daily bread. God is able to do that. He will give good gifts to those who ask him. Chapter 7, verse 11. Ask, seek, knock. Why? Because God will give good gifts. And he's able to give good gifts. If he feeds the birds, he'll feed you. It speaks of God's sovereignty. But we also have to bring into consideration the fact of God's love for us. It's a Father who reigns. He is our Father, where we begin the prayer, our Father in heaven. And if he is our Father, and he loves us, then we know he will provide for us. It strengthens our confidence, not only to think of God's sovereignty, but God's love. This is the God to whom we pray, give us today our daily bread. A God who is sovereign over all things and a God who loves us with infinite love. And so we know he will provide what's necessary for us. He's a good parent and he may not provide everything we want. any more than you would give everything your children ask for, you'd be a fool to do that. And God doesn't give us everything we want, but we know He'll provide everything we need. Our Father reigns. That's a tremendous encouragement in prayer. He is able, He is willing to give us whatever we need. Now that doesn't lead us, or it must not lead us, to idleness or unwillingness to work and earn a living. It would be a misunderstanding of this prayer to say, well, I've asked God for my daily bread and He'll provide it from somewhere. I don't need to do anything. Certainly not. As we looked at 2 Thessalonians in our evening services, chapter 3, verse 10, biblical principle, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. And so nothing in this prayer rules out our earning our living, our using our gifts and abilities as God gives us opportunity. And the fact is that it is usually by legitimate work that the answer to this prayer for daily bread comes. Of course God can provide manna, as He did in the Old Testament. Of course it is possible that you could open your front door in the morning and the food for the day would be sitting there and you'd done nothing to earn it. But we would never expect that to happen. The usual pattern is that God enables us to work for our living. And it is God who gives us gifts, skills, health, jobs. They're in His sovereign hands. Now, He may, for His own good purposes, not provide some of those. But where He does, there's the answer to the prayer. But we don't then think, well, I do it. It's my effort and my energy and my skill that earn my bread. We know God is the ultimate source. We're reminded in Deuteronomy 8:18, it's the Lord who gives you the ability to produce wealth. We're in God's hands. And if God snapped His fingers now, you might never work again. You might never have another day's health to earn a penny. You're in God's hands. And there are those we know who discover that. And it is a hard thing sometimes to come to terms with. We're to use the skills, the gifts, the opportunities, the jobs God gives us, but they're in His hands. We're never independent. We're never in a situation where we don't need Him. We're never in a situation where we don't pray, give us today our daily bread. Even as you go out to work, you still pray that prayer. Because it's by God's enabling you'll work that day. Our Father reigns. It's full of encouragement, full of comfort. God is sovereign and God is loving. And we know He'll provide what we need in His way. Not a license for idleness or laziness or carelessness, but an encouragement to use the means God has given us. The material matters. Do we really take that to heart? Have we got a grasp of that biblical truth? It is not unworthy for Christians to pray, give us today our daily bread. Are we convinced our Father reigns? That God is sovereign and in control of all of our circumstances. And God is loving and will provide what we need. Are we convinced of those great truths? The material matters. The Lord reigns, our Father reigns. And then, thirdly, as a consequence, the Christian trusts. The Christian trusts. Because at the heart of this petition, give us today our daily bread, is an attitude. It's an attitude of heart that should characterize the Christian. An attitude to God, to life, to our necessities. It is an attitude of trust that the Lord is portraying for us. We pray this petition properly. We're praying it in a trusting spirit. Now, of course, we never forget the need for correct priorities. You look down to verse 33 we read earlier. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. We are not for a moment suggesting that our first priority must be seeking the kingdom of God, the salvation He gives, righteousness and godly living. Those are our top priorities. They must always be. But it's in that context of seeking the kingdom and His righteousness that we have confidence, as Jesus says, all these things will be given to you as well. So there is no point neglecting God's kingdom, neglecting righteousness, and then praying, give us our daily bread. No point. But if we're seeking the kingdom and seeking righteousness, then in a trusting spirit we can pray, give us today our daily bread. I think there are at least four aspects of this trusting spirit. We need, first of all, humility. We need humility. There's no presumption on our part when we pray this prayer properly. Give us today our daily bread. That word daily is a very obscure word. It may be that the evangelists Matthew and Luke invented the word to translate what Jesus says. It occurs nowhere else. But it does seem, give us bread for this single day ahead of us. So we're not praying here for long-term provision. We're not praying for guarantees for the future. Lord, make sure the rest of my life is easy. We're praying for bread for the day ahead. So there's humility in the petition. We know our unworthiness. We know our liability to pride in ourselves. And this is a prayer that mortifies our pride. To come to God and just ask Him for bread for today is a humble act. And that's what God seeks from us. Humility as we pray. And we're conscious of the general principle of 1 Corinthians 4:7. What do you have that you did not receive? That's true in general, but it's true of daily necessities. What do you have that you didn't receive ultimately from God? Answer, nothing. Humility. Even the necessities of life remind us we're dependent on the Lord for everything. So it speaks of humility. But it speaks secondly of confidence. Confidence in this God. If He is a sovereign heavenly Father, as we know He is, then we have confidence that He's able and willing to provide whatever we need. Think of a great verse like Philippians 4:19. My God will supply all your need. And then how does it go on? According to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Note that. Not from His riches and glory, but according to, in proportion to. There's something of the richness of the provision that God will make. And if we really believe that, it will release us from anxiety about the future. It will not release us from making wise provision for the future. We must do that. Whatever we can do to provide wisely for the future, we should do it. You know, go to the ant, provide for the future. But it releases us from anxiety. God provides for the birds. He provides for the lilies. We read that later in the chapter. If He does that, He'll provide for us And so Jesus tells us, verse 25, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, what you'll wear. Don't worry. God will provide what we need. No doubt he'll not provide everything we'd like or everything we think we need. But it releases us from anxiety. And all around us are people just torn by anxiety and fears for the future. The Christian, trusting in a Father who reigns, is set free from that burden and can pray with confidence, give us today our daily bread. It speaks of humility. It speaks of confidence. It speaks, thirdly, of contentment. Contentment. This is a prayer that counteracts covetousness. Counteracts covetousness. And we know, of course, the Ten Commandments include covetousness as a sin that is specifically forbidden. What are we asking for? We're asking for very basic needs. For bread. There may be other things we would like, but we're asking for the basic needs. We're not even asking for surplus. We're not asking for luxuries. We're asking for bread. It doesn't get any more ordinary than that. And we are, as we pray this prayer, expressing contentment with what God gives us. Daily bread. Now, he may provide surplus. He may provide luxuries. He often does. There are some who, in the providence of God, are made wealthy. And we think of biblical examples like Abraham, like Job. God may bless some of his children with great wealth. He may give far more than the daily necessities. But he's not obliged to. He's not in any way bound to do that. And indeed, if God does give much more than we need, we're going to require wisdom and grace to use that surplus wisely. Because we know how wealth can corrupt. And our hearts may be very liable to that kind of corruption. Perhaps one of the reasons why God doesn't give some of us more materially is that he knows we couldn't cope with it in a godly way. But he does give to some, and he gives them grace to handle it for his glory. But we're content with whatever the Lord gives us. That's what Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:8. If we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. And Paul remembers, he tells us in Philippians 4, had learned to be content. It didn't come naturally to Paul. It doesn't come naturally, perhaps, to most of us to be content with what God gives us. So often there's the thought of, well, a little more would make it easier. Just a little more surely wouldn't do us any harm. Paul learned, and he learned in a hard school, how to be content. But he learned. And we need to take to heart the truth of 1 Timothy 6:6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Do you see it in that light? Do you see godliness with contentment as something that is very desirable? It's great gain. Far greater than material gain. Godliness with contentment. And perhaps we need to pray more for contentment. Satisfaction with what God gives us. To pray, give us today our daily bread, is to express contentment with the bread God will give us today. Humility, confidence, contentment, and finally generosity. generosity. Notice, give us today our daily bread. Not give me. The whole prayer, of course, is corporate. We've seen that already, but we mustn't forget that when we come to this petition. It's not a self-centered request. To pray, give us today our daily bread, is a reminder that we are part of a Christian community. As we thought earlier, each member belongs to all the others. And we're part of a wider world, not just the Christian world. And so God's means of providing for some will be our sharing what he has given us and enabling us to be generous with others. And as you read through the scriptures, you'll see it is a fundamental principle of godly living to exercise wise generosity. Not wise miserliness or foolish generosity, but wise generosity that's thoughtful, that's prayerful, that's directed, that's specific. Wise generosity is commanded in the scriptures. So as Paul says in Galatians 6:10, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. It is a prayer that does speak of generosity. We are not isolated individuals. We are a community of God's people, and we're put in a needy world. Give us, not give me, give us today our daily bread. The Christian trusts. We pray the prayer aright. We pray it with humility. We'll pray it with confidence. We'll pray it with contentment. And we'll pray it with generosity. Not holding tight to the provision God makes, but with open hands helping where he gives us opportunity to his glory and in his name. Give us today our daily bread. The material matters. Matters to God. It must matter to us. The Father reigns. God's sovereign. God's loving. And the Christian trusts with a heart of humility, confidence, contentment, generosity. May we be able to pray this petition to God's glory, the advancement of his kingdom.